Thank you. month of May, we have some beautiful moms that are going to be taking offerings.
Hallelujah. God is good and God is faithful always, isn't he? So I get the honor of taking offering today, the great honor. So we'll just get right to it. I gave my life to Jesus 5.5 years ago. That's when Jesus became Lord of my life. I began tithing shortly after that, I would say within a month or so. And to be honest, I was a little concerned with how it was going to work. I'm a single mom, a one-income household, and so my carnal mind was like, how is this going to work, Lord? But I just want to tell you that there has never been a moment or a day that my son and I have lacked or had need of anything. He's always supplied not only need, but we've had more than enough. The Lord is faithful to watch over his word. I tithe and I give above and beyond my tithe, both inside the church and outside. And I do not say that to boast in myself. Hear me, please. I'm nothing without him. I say it to boast in him and as a testimony to the goodness of the Lord and that he is faithful to perform his promises that he's told us. I mean, how is that possible? One income household, and I tithe faithfully and I give above and beyond. There's only one way that that is possible, and it is the Lord. So we're going to turn to Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. A tithe is 10% of any increase that we receive. So 10% of our paychecks, any monetary increase that we get, 10% of that goes back to the Lord. It is because of him that we have the jobs that we have. It is because of him any increase or any blessing comes our way. So 10% gets given to the Lord before anything else is spent, before anything else is paid. The Lord gets his 10%. And it says here that it's to be brought into the storehouse. The storehouse is our church. If you're visiting here today and you have a home church, then the storehouse would be your home church. If you're visiting here and you don't have a home church, we would love for you to make this your home church. And in that case, this would be your storehouse. I've known people, not in this church, that have taken their tithe and they've purchased things and then they've given it to the church. That's an offering. The tithe is to come into the storehouse. There are needs and expenses that go into our churches that the Lord makes provision for through our tithe and through our giving. So the tithe comes into the storehouse. My son and I have experienced supernatural monetary blessing that did not come from man. It came from a source that it should have never come from. It says here, see, if I will not pour out a blessing upon you that there is not room enough to contain. The Lord watches over his word to perform it. We're going to turn to 2 Corinthians 9:10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So the Lord gives us seed to sow. Monetary seed that we sow, and then he multiplies it. But if we keep the seed in our hand, if we keep the seed in our pocket, he can't multiply it. It's as though we partner with God, and he can only do his part if we do ours. We don't have to worry about if the Lord's going to hold true to his word. He will. Many times we don't see the promises come to pass and we don't see the fruit of what God says because we are not doing our part. The Lord watches over his word to perform it. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, this is the last scripture. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase, which is what we just talked about. so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. We honor the Lord when we give and when we tithe, and he watches over his word to perform it. When we do our part, when we are obedient, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. If you love me, you will keep my commands. If we trust him with our salvation, if we trust him with our hearts, with our lives, with our families, with our children, we can trust him with our money, which is the least of these. I want to encourage you, begin today. If you're not a tither, perhaps you've been concerned like I was in the beginning and you've never tithed. Let today be the day that you step into faith. Perhaps you're a tither and you've never given above and beyond your tithe. You've never sown a seed. Let today be the day that you step into faith. That faith is pleasing to the Lord. In fact, it's impossible to please him without it. Use your faith today. Sow a seed and watch the Lord hold true to his word. If you need a tithe or offering envelope and you don't see one in the back of your pew, you can raise your hand and someone will bring you one. I'll just go ahead and pray over the tithe and offering and then you can bring it forth. Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness, God, and that your ways are higher than ours, and that we can trust you, Father, with all things, including our money. We thank you, Lord, that you give us seed to sow and then you multiply that seed. And God, not only that, but you say that you will increase the fruits of our righteousness. Lord, we desire the fruits of our righteousness to be increased so that you may be glorified in the earth. Father, we say, have your way, God. Be glorified today, God, as we step forth and use our faith, God. We know, God, that you will hold true to your word. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. I know they've already said good morning and we've done all that, but you haven't said good morning to me yet. Happy Mother's Day, all you beautiful mothers out there. I got to tell you a joke, okay? All right, there was this mommy and she was just going around her house doing, you know, what mamas do. And her little boy was at the coffee table. And there was this big, huge Bible. You know, some of us have those big, huge Bibles that used to sit on our coffee table. Now they're probably somewhere in the shelf, you know, getting dust. But anyway, so this little boy, he was just going through the Bible like this. And he looked, and all of a sudden, he found a leaf. You know how people put leaves in books. He said, Mommy, Mommy, you're not going to believe this. I found Adam's underwear. I thought you'd like that. I had to get approval before I told it. I asked Pastor, I said, can I say this? He said, yeah. So anyway, how many of you didn't get one of those tickets? Raise your hand. All right. These gentlemen, keep your hand up, guys. The women, I'm sorry. Did Pete have his hand up? Who, Jim? And he's spitting my hair today, too, just so you know. No, he really didn't. He just goes like this. He comes up to you and goes, and it makes you feel like he spits in your hair. He's so ornery. But we're praying for him. We're praying that God will deliver him. Amen. Okay, who else doesn't have one? What? Oh, we need more tickets, Kayla. We got some nice gifts to give out today, prizes. So for all you mothers, yeah, but you're excluded. See all these other men because you spit in my hair. But he really didn't, but he acted like he did. So they got all their tickets yet? Not yet? Okay. Keep your arm up if you do not have a ticket. Keep your arm up. That's good, Stacy. I'm glad you got your arm up. Just let me know when all of them have a ticket. Well, we're going to have Pastor Cook today for Mother's Day. Oh, dear God. He won't do. He still is playing that arm and will not do dishes. I'm serious. Hold up your arm, Pete, and show him you don't even need that cast. But so he doesn't have to do dishes. But so he doesn't have to do dishes, he wears it. Oh, honey. But anyway, so he's going to cook for us today out on the grill that David gave us. David gave us this nice grill. I have no idea why he gave it away. I think he didn't want to clean it. Oh, it is not. You just turn the burners on. It's a whole, it's just like a grill in a restaurant. It's a flat surface. So we're going to have hamburgers and hot dogs and angel eggs. We don't want to say devil in the house. Angel eggs. And they all got them now?
Already.
All right. I was trying to improvise, you know. Anyway. All right. So she's going to stir them. Oh, okay. All right. 247-211. 247-2 for Ida. All right. Okay. You get a Kohl's, give Ida a Kohl's card for $25. Yep. All right. 247-217. All right. And you get a tea. Oh, my favorite. You sure I don't want to give it to me? TJ Maxx. My very favorite. Okay. 247-224. Well, good for you. Who is it, Holly? Oh, I couldn't see her back there. Okay. You get the Red Lobster one, Holly. You'd think she won the lottery. I do have to say this about Red Lobster. We went there the other day, and I'm telling you, they are giving like double because they were so stingy during COVID. They're giving double. We had plenty. I brought it home, and it was amazing. But anyway. Okay, got one more, all right. 247-258. We like you screaming. Oh, yeah, scream. Did you? Oh, there she is. And, okay, so she got one to the Olive Garden. We hope you like the Olive Garden. Okay, 247-257. 247-257. Where? Oh, okay. We didn't hear any screams. Oh, and you got a Walmart card for $25. So you can always use a Walmart card, you know? Yeah, mix them up really good. 247-173. And you get a Kohl's card. Where is it? Okay. 247-173. Okay, we'll try again, a different one. Okay, 247-123. Bingo. Who's it? Oh, and you got the Kohl's card. Absolutely. 247-117. Oh, Joan, you got TJ Maxx card, $25. I know, I love it. Mm-hmm. 247-188. 247-188. What did he say? She won't come down? Oh, okay. That's all right. We'll yell for her. Woo! Okay, and you're getting Red Lobster, $25. 247-134. Good job. And you get Olive Garden. And we've got one more, right? Is that correct? All right. No, Lincoln, you're not a mother. You're not getting one. Lincoln's my grandson, for all you that don't know him. Okay, 247-161. 247-161. Where? Oh, great. Okay, so you get the Walmart card for $25. We're so happy for all you mothers today. We just thank God for you. You help mold us and bring us, you know, we're like little arrows. You just shoot us to where we need to go. And we thank God for you and for all the hard work that you do. Listen. You know, I heard something somewhere that a mother can take care of seven kids, but one kid can't take care, or seven kids can't take care of a mother. Haven't you heard that? Yeah, so true. All right. Pardon? Thank God I didn't have seven. Thank God, right? Listen, I quit after the first one because I knew I got perfect. I want a gift today.
It's not. I'm turned on. There. Me? Check, check. All right, there we go. So we all know that it's Mother's Day, not National Daughter's Day, so we don't want Mom giving me praise here, but if we had seven, it would be easier to take care of because everyone knows that not one child can make their parent happy. Amen? I'm trying, though, this Mother's Day, although it's going to be rainy, so I'm not going to be able to plant those beautiful flowers. Oh, we are. Oh, in 20-mile-an-hour winds. 40 degrees. I'm loving it. Can't wait. And this is why we needed seven other children. She asked if you had two raincoats. Praise Jesus. Help us, Lord. And you know it's hard to keep a mother happy. Amen? Oh, well, it's also, I thought this was really important today. Do you know it's the
39th year anniversary of Only Believe. You guys forgot. You've been in it so long. We need to honor the pastors of the house. Stand up. Stand up. Along with Mother's Day, we say thank you. Thank you. 39 years of teaching and loving us as parents of this house. Thank you. Thank you. 39 years and going strong, and I know that the best is yet to come. Amen for Only Believe. I know there's a lot of mothers that are visiting their daughters and sons' churches because it's always given, Mom, we want you to come with us and spend the day. So a lot of mothers travel out. If you're not with us today, we love you. We miss you. We'll see you next week. Next week, we're going to continue our series on the Holy Spirit. How many of you were here last week and the week before? Yes, it's a good series. We need to hear about these things. But we've been talking right about last week. Pastors talked to us about prophecy. We're going to be pushing forward into those first three vocal gifts. And we're going to be learning about tongues next week. And we're going to pick up right where we left off. And then following the week after that, we're going to talk about the three revelation gifts. All right, so be sure to get back in the house because I'm going to show you today why you need that in being a mother. Amen. So let's pray before we get started. Father, we just come before you. God, I count it an honor to be in your house today. Father, to be a part of this beautiful family of God. Father, I ask that you would direct my words. Father, that it would pierce the hearts of every man, woman, and child listening today. Father, that it would go and do your work and it would not return void. Father, it would do what you have commanded it to perform. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, so I get the joy of sharing a Mother's Day message. Isn't that nice? So don't worry, you're not going to have to worry about your toes getting stepped on. You get to get encouraged and you get hope set in there today, all right? God thinks that women are very important. Very, very important. We can start way back when and go through the Bible, woman after woman after woman. There was Esther who literally preserved the bloodline of Jesus Christ because it took her courage and faith to step into the role and the purpose that God had for her. We can move on to Mary, the mother of Jesus, who as a teenager with no husband espoused was going to give birth to a child. And Joseph stepped up to the plate because he had seen and heard from the Lord and said, I'll be her husband. Mary delivered something that took courage, courage to do, right? We have the woman at the well who was the first woman to actually be introduced to the Messiah and believe, and then went and shared with an entire city of men and began to evangelize the name of Jesus. I think that women were very, very important to the Lord, very important. There was Mary Magdalene at the gravesite where she went to perform burial things on Jesus. And there she found herself face to face with Jesus, the resurrected Christ. And he literally touched her and her grief was gone. Amen? God cares about women. You too are important. It took great faith for these women to do their role and to work out what God had called them to do. He put his trust in these women, just as he put trust in you and I. Now, men, I'm just going to be real with you. He put his trust in you just as much as he did us. But for today, I'm just going to ask you to take a back seat and be okay with the fact that we're going to talk a lot about women in the Bible because I want you to see that God values you. See, you're raising the next generation. You're raising prophets, pastors, teachers, future farmers who will bring food to all of us. You're dealing with chemists and inventions and musicians and artists. There's even some of you dealing with college dropouts. It's okay. Because those kids have to go through certain things their way, right? And not always the decisions that our children make are a reflection of what they've been taught by a mother or by a father. Can someone say amen? Amen. It's okay. God counts you valuable. He thinks you're enough. He thinks you have what it takes. And he knows that you're going to fulfill the purpose with your children as much courage as it takes, as much faith as it takes, you're going to raise the next generation strong. Do you realize that we as mothers today could be raising an end time generation? Do you realize that my children might not see their children's children? Because the Lord is coming quickly. So count what you do valuable. So no pressure. No pressure intended to put on you about the end time generation. But you have to know that Mary, the mother of Jesus, had to have felt some pressure. Can I get an amen? The girl was a teenager, and I think she had her hands full. How many of you have lost a child at age 12? Well, Mary did. In fact, they had come into town for the Passover to celebrate and to do what they do. And throughout this group of people migrating into the city, now remember, they didn't just travel like by car. They had a group of people that said, let's set out for Jerusalem and let's go to the Passover. So they go to the Passover, they do what they do. And then on the way back, a day into their travel, where's Jesus? I don't know, I thought you had him. Well, maybe one of the aunts have him. Let me go check. They meander through all the people. They can't find Jesus. Like, oh, where's Jesus? 3 days later, they turn around. 1 day's trip back. And it takes them two more to find him. And they find him 3 days later. How many of you have become that parent? Because I haven't. I think Mary had her hands full. He was 12 years old and thought that he needed to be somewhere else rather than with the family doing what the family needed to do. And Home Alone thought they had the storyline first. Nothing new under the sun, I'm just letting you know. She finds him in the temple. And you know what he says to her? In modern day terms, why are you searching for me? Are you kidding me right now? I just traipsed a day and a half back, and I'm looking around this city for you, and you ask me, why am I searching for you? Nevertheless, Jesus subjects to his mother and father and goes back home with them. And it says in the Bible that Mary kept these things in her heart, what he said, for she did not understand what he was saying. So I doubt that he said it in a smart aleck way, because he was Jesus. Remember, he knew no sin. So dishonoring his mother was not at the top of his list. But in today's world, if we put ourselves in that situation, surely she was wondering, what will he eat? Where will he sleep? Like, what mother wouldn't? My mother, oh Lord, you go to her house, she's going to feed you till you break. In case you didn't know, she killed a dog once because she felt it so much food. So if you ever go to her house, don't start eating because it doesn't stop. She keeps bringing it and bringing it and bringing it as if you haven't ate in days. She's afraid you might be hungry. It was natural for Mary to be concerned about her boy. But here's the thing. Even though she probably wanted to wring his neck, she kept quiet. And she wrote these things in her heart that she did not understand. When was the last time, moms, and I'm speaking to myself, and Lincoln, please don't say I told you so, that you wish you could have retracted what you said and just wrote it on your heart and left it tucked away? Because sometimes I think we often speak too quick, or we jump to conclusions too quick. And Mary was a good example. And let me tell you why. Mary had to trust in the Lord to bring to pass what she didn't understand. Mary didn't have all the answers. It doesn't ever tell us that the Lord came and spoke to her again through an angel. It doesn't tell her that there was a book laid out on stone tablets of how she was supposed to take care of Jesus. What we know is that she trusted God's plan was far bigger than hers. Amen. And she had to rest in that. Amen. God has a bigger plan with our kids. And I think some of us need to be reminded that just as Mary had been specifically chosen and found favor with God to raise Jesus, you and I were specifically chosen for our children. No matter how disobedient, no matter how obedient, no matter how perfect you are as a child, you were chosen by God, and you were given favor, God's grace, to raise that child. He never would give you more than you can handle. We find that in 1 Corinthians 10:13. In a nutshell, it says that you will not have more than you can handle. You won't be tempted beyond what you can bear because God's with you. But some of you moms are looking at what you've been given. You're looking at your lot and you're looking at me going, no, you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand the daily fight that goes into this life. You don't understand the workload. You don't understand. Maybe my children's handicapped and you don't get what I go through every day faces what you go through every day. I hear you. I hear you. But what I know is that God will not give you more than your supernatural man can handle. But if you're doing it in the natural, then I'm here to tell you that chances are you're going to fail. Chances are, 9 times out of 10, you're going to run out of your own provision. Sooner or later, you're going to run out of the answers, because when we do it on our own, things don't go right. See, you were not meant to do this life alone. See, we were meant to do it with the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus come, but then he goes on and he says, but I will send the Holy Spirit. This is why we've been teaching you about the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. I can't imagine doing life without these 9 gifts and being filled with the Spirit and having the evidence thereof. Now let me tell you, Mary raised Jesus and thanked the Lord that God, the Holy Spirit, was the Father, the true Father of him, which raised him. But you and I have been given the Holy Spirit, the same as Jesus and God walking around with us to do the work, because there's a 3-in-1, amen? And the work of the Holy Spirit in your and mine's life is what allows us to do the supernatural things that motherhood takes. I'm just telling you that life in the supernatural, dependent upon God, in relationship with God, living a sanctified, holy life so that the Holy Spirit can pour inside of you. And here, how about this? Let you discern what spirit your child is hanging around with. Amen. Come on. Let you discern what temptations your child is struggling with. There's a word of knowledge that comes, which is a word from God himself, which comes in by the Holy Spirit and into your mind and tells you exactly what's happening in a situation that you can see clearly to deal with what's at hand. You got a child dealing with anxiety and depression? Let me tell you something. You need the discernment of the Holy Ghost to tell you where the root of that depression and anxiety comes from. You need a word of knowledge that's going to make it clear that you can go back to where the root of this came in and what spirit brought it and where he came from and what damage he's trying to do to your kid. This is why you and I don't operate in a natural level. We're dependent. We were created to be dependent on him, definitely not independent. And when we find ourselves with undue pressure and undue stress, and you're struggling and you're finding that it's hard to make it work, stop. You're doing it on your own. Stop. Reorganize, reprioritize. Get that 10 minutes in the morning with the Lord. Remind yourself that you've been given help, that you're not in this alone, and let the Holy Spirit begin to guide and lead your day. Amen. Mom struggles are going to come. They have come, and they're going to keep coming. No matter what. It don't matter if they're a baby. It don't matter if they're a toddler, an adult. They could be 50 years old, and the struggles keep coming. Mom, is this true? I'm 48. The struggles keep coming. And where do we go as kids? We go to our moms. But I'm here to remind you today that there is no struggle beyond what you are able to deal with the Holy Spirit right next to you. There's none. In fact, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 8th verse. And this is actually talking about God loving a cheerful giver. And it is speaking of money. But there are multiple things that you can give rather than just money. So I want to read this. A mother gives of herself constantly. And this is the scripture that comes to my mind. It says, and God is able. Say, God is able. Didn't say mothers are able. Didn't say a more organized mother's able. Didn't say if I had more help, I'd be able. It said, God is able to make all grace, favor, God's ability to do for every mother in this house what she cannot do on her own. You ever feel like you've fallen short? Well, right here's the answer. That it would abound to you so that you having all sufficiency. I like that word, sufficiency. It means perfect with no aid or support. You want to know why? Because God is the one who becomes the support. God is the one who is the one that's able, not in your own worth, not in your own value, but because you're with and in Him. With no, listen to this, it also brings a content mind. How many of you want that? Oh, Jesus, help us. Come on, there's not a mom out there that doesn't want a content mind in the daily struggle of motherhood. All sufficiency in all things, including parents, including doing the dishes, including doing the groceries, including doing the carpool, and at all times, that you may abound, be in excess of, in every good work. That word work there means literally work. And we all know that children are work. Am I right? This means all things, every single mother, Melanie, it didn't dawn on me that you were a single mom. You want to know why? You do it effortlessly. You want to know why? God is able. You're obviously hooked with the Holy Spirit to do what He's called you to do in your life. Every single mom doing it by yourself. To the mother who didn't have the godly example. And maybe you think, I don't know, no, all things. To the mother who feels guilty because you think you're falling short. Or the mother who keeps trying to seek perfection. In all things, at all times. When I'm exhausted. When I've been up all night fighting for my 45-year-old son with spiritual warfare because the devil's after his soul. When I've been visiting my child in the local jail because they made a bad choice. Even for those soon-to-be moms. On your delivery day, all times, God will be with you. And for those of you that maybe don't have a mom here today because she's no longer with us, or you miscarried a baby, God is with you. He's with you. He sees where you're at. He sees what you're going through. Listen, His grace, His sufficiency, so you can be content in your mind. Be content in your mind. Let Him do the work. And it says, I'm taken back to the scripture in Luke where the angel comes to Mary and the Holy Spirit, they talk to her and tell her what's going to happen, right? But at the end of the chapter, it says, but with God, nothing shall be impossible. For you and I as mothers, but with God, nothing shall be impossible because the Holy Spirit is with us. I talked to a 65-year-old man. If you're taking notes, by the way, number one, there's 3 points today. Number one, we need the Holy Spirit's help. Amen. And if you're saved You have the Holy Spirit's progressive work in your life. That's one thing. But you need to be filled with His Holy Spirit to help you be filled and have the evidence of these 9 gifts in your life if you plan on having any revelation of what your child is doing. My mother had the Holy Spirit 8-ball. She had the Holy Spirit intuition. She had everything Holy Spirit. Because I'm telling you, she could tell you what I was doing when I didn't even know I was doing it. And she would remind me, the devil is after you and God's going to tell me what you're doing. Oh, yeah. Those are called the revelation gifts. You need them. The word of wisdom, the discernment, and the word of knowledge. You need all 3 of those if you're raising children in this world. Anyways, I was talking to a 65-year-old man the other day. And I said, Eugene, if there was one thing that you could tell me from parenting that you've learned over the years, what would it be? He said, oh, goodness. He said, I think it would be that sometimes you shouldn't do what you think you should do, but you should ask the Lord and see what He wants you to do. Point and check. Holy Spirit present in our lives, working with us, because not always is our way the right way. Just like Mary wrote it in her heart, rather than ripping Jesus a new one because she couldn't find him. We need the Holy Spirit. So that's number one. Number one, we need the Holy Spirit to raise these children. John chapter 2 tells us of a story of Jesus and his disciples at a wedding, and they ran out of wine. Now, this would have been a very embarrassing and shameful event back then. Because they ran out, the family would be embarrassed, right? So Mary finds out that they're running out of wine, or that they have ran out. She says, hey, Jesus, come here. He says, okay, Mom, sure, what you need? He said, they have no more wine. And Jesus looks at her, modern day, Mom, don't involve me in this. What's that got to do with me? My time's not yet come. Nevertheless, Mary must have walked away because he never said nothing back. Here's my question. As we read the story, was it that Mary maybe knew the family and she really felt sorry for them that they were going to run out of wine and she didn't want them to be embarrassed? Or was she just maybe a fixer? Like some of us moms are, trying to push Jesus out there a little early into his call. Like, no, son, I've seen you been doing some stuff at home. Go, go, it's your time. What do we know? Well, we don't. But here's what I do know. The mother of Jesus knew there was something special about her boy. And that whatever he touched changed. He fills up 6 water pots. Water pots. Water's made of hydrogen and oxygen. Wine, not water and oxygen. It's got water in it, but it's got sugar, yeast, and I don't know what else is in there, but I know those 3 elements. He literally fills them up, says, give a drink to the governor of the wedding, which I'm assuming is the people who are over the wedding. And he takes a drink of it and he says, what, you saved the best for last? This is awesome. This is better than the first wine we drank. Here's what Mary knew. Mary knew that Jesus could take something that would bring shame and embarrassment and turn it around for good. She knew that when her son got involved in a situation that the entire molecular structure of what was present was going to shift and change. You and I as mothers, we got to identify. When Jesus gets involved in our child's situation, there's nothing There isn't nothing that he can't touch and it change. I'm talking ideas, the way they think, the choices they make, the situations they get themselves into. There is nothing that they can't get themselves into that Jesus himself can't put his finger on and go, nope, that's going to change. Mary knew her boy was special, but do we know? As moms, that every situation in our life just needs a special touch. Just a special touch. And to really believe that he can change the way it's even structured. It don't have to have sugar and water around to make it. It just happens. Because it was the miraculous. Jesus is bigger than our kids' problems. What about us as moms? What about it doesn't matter what our struggle is either, whether it's our priorities or it's balancing time or it's that we constantly compare ourselves to other supermoms. Did you hear me? Supermoms. Because that's what they are. They're supermoms. But let me tell you something. Supermoms break. Supermoms aren't what you see on Facebook. Those are just what we want you to see. Supermoms are the ones who are daily in the Word of God, depending upon the supernatural strength of the God, our Most High, saying, God, I can't do this on my own. I know you chose me. I know you called me. But today I don't feel like I can get up out of bed. These supermoms know how to turn to the Holy Spirit and get help. Jesus can take our bad situation and turn it into good too. See, in fact, the Bible said better than you could have ever imagined was the wine at the wedding. Better than you could have ever imagined. So note takers, number two, when Jesus gets involved, it's better than you could have ever imagined. One, we have to have the Holy Spirit to do this. Number two, we need to understand that there's a miraculous supernatural work that we can apply to our everyday lives while we parent our kids. The last story that I want to talk to you about is Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit to a well where he met a woman named the Samaritan woman. She was drawing water to drink, and Jesus asks her for a drink, in which she replies, Jews and Samaritans don't have dealings with each other. Why do you ask this of me? In other words, we don't hang out together. My people are against your people. So why are you asking me for a drink at the well? Get your own drink. Pretty much, in a nutshell. So let's go to John 4:10 because I want to read. I said all that to get you up to par so we can start reading. It says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now that word living right there means to live, to enjoy, to be blessed, to be strong. Here's one of my favorite words. To be efficient. That means she was a good time manager. And powerful. Sound like a mother? Let me read that again. To live, to enjoy, to be blessed, to be strong, to be efficient, and powerful. Isn't that the identification of a supermom? Well, it's found in the living water. So let's go to verse 13 and 14. It says, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water, meaning the well, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. And the woman said, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now she was interested at this point in just not having to come back to the well. She was like, dude, I got to come here every day. I'd rather not. Well, Jesus begins to converse with her And being led by the Holy Spirit to the well, while he's there, he gets a word of knowledge for her. A piece of God's knowledge about a situation, just a piece, for her. And says, you've got five husbands, literally reads her mail. She goes, oh, you must be a prophet. He says, no, I'm not a prophet. I'm the Messiah. And she said, I knew he would come. She believes, drops her water pots at the well, and goes to the next city and begins to preach to all the men, telling them that Jesus just told her everything in her life that she had just done, and that he must be the Messiah. Now, I said all of that to say, living water. Listen, we as moms see that as Jesus gave this woman at the well salvation. But what comes with salvation? The entire package. You understand that he gave her redemption. She gained a supernatural source, a sufficiency that never run out. No matter the day, no matter the hour, this was something she could draw on constantly. Day after day after day, there was healing. There was forgiveness of her sin. There was a removing of her insecurities as a mother. And I know we all have insecurities. We all constantly measure ourselves one to another, asking, man, she's such a better mom than I am. Stop it. Stop it. God made you just the way you are. He gave you his grace to do what you need to do with your kids, your way, with the Holy Spirit. You're enough. And one day you just have to accept. You know, Lex, I'm just going to be honest. I don't know if Miss Carol Schwartz is here, but I'm just going to just throw myself out there. Lexi was friends with Brittany Schwartz. They've been friends since they were born. We nursed in the same nursing mother's room. And Carol was a stay-at-home mom who homeschooled her first children up until a certain age. And she was just brilliant. I'm going to be honest with you. You go over to her house, she made homemade bread rising on the counter. This girl here, I bought the Pillsbury bread in the roll and threw it in the oven and said it was homemade bread. That's just what I got. I'm just telling you. And at first, when I was a young mom, I felt this comparison. I felt like I didn't measure up. And Lexi would go over there for the day. Oh my gosh, they had baby kitties. They planted in the garden. They rolled in the dough. They made cookies. They came home with homemade pizza. All this stuff. And then Brittany comes to our house and I'm like, yeah, here's a Blue Clues. Turn it on. And I set them in front of the TV and I got the house cleaned while they were watching. It's just a different parenting style. But I found myself constantly comparing myself. And then I realized, wait a minute, I don't have to do this. I'm a working mom. I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do. And if I homeschooled my children, they'd be dumber than a box of rocks. I need school. I'm just telling you, I need those teachers who will teach my children. Because I was not a good student. I was like a C and still had to memorize and cheat my way all the way through to get the C. I was not an application person. I just didn't apply myself. That's what my mom always told me. I don't think it was true. I just think I wasn't that smart. But she always told me, it's okay, honey. You just have to apply yourself more. My point is, the comparison doesn't leave. Now as they age, another mother comes in. And she's this and she's that. You know what? One day you just got to be okay. Put on your comfy fat girl pants and just be you. Be you. And don't care about what anyone else thinks about it. I can make a mean cupcake, and if you need someone to bring in dessert, let me know. That's my job, and I learned it. I'm not a class den mother or whatever they were. I just called Carol. Carol, can you be at the school? She's like, I gotcha. I'm like, good. Praise the Lord. I did learn some things from Carol, though. I'll tell you that. My point is, this woman understood that she had a provision that she could draw on. And there was no more. When she took on this living water, this well, this salvation that was in her became enough to source her life so that she, as a woman, you and I, as a mother, could be blessed enjoy our life, be content, be powerful and strong in who God is for you and I. This is what this living water does. Jesus, the living water. Drink it. Drink what he has. He met this woman right where she was. As moms, every day, he will meet you right where you are. That's my third point. Jesus meets us where we are. Whether you are doing dishes, whether you're changing diapers, whether you're correcting and directing, we're in a world where what is right is wrong and what is wrong is right. The culture is twisted. God is with you when he does, when you need to correct and direct that. He's with you. He's there with you. He meets you in that spot. It's changing every day in our school systems, every day what your children in college think is right, and they come home and they tell you it's changing. But God meets you where you are. And the Holy Spirit, the gift of wisdom, can be dropped into your life, and immediately you know how to respond. It says that he's there to comfort us and help us. He never leaves us and never forsakes us. Now, I want to talk specifically. All you moms that have babies here have gotten your fill. You've been encouraged. You've been loved today. You've been told, do life with the Holy Spirit. We can do it. Number two, when Jesus touches it, it's better than it's ever been imagined. Number three, he meets us where we are. There's a lot of women here today that don't have their children here. And for those mothers that have ever lost a child, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No woman, no father should have to bury a child or lose a child. It's not the natural progression of the way life rolls. It's just not. But the Holy Spirit sees you. Jesus sees what you've lost, the mourning that you've gone through. Some of us have lost mothers this year. And this is our first Mother's Day without them present. God's with you. God's with you. And I think of the woman, Mary Magdalene, who was at the tomb. And when she went to take care of Jesus and she found that the stone had been rolled away, and she wanted to know, what did they do with my Jesus? Where is he? And then the disciples came and they left, and there she is at the tomb, crying and weeping in grief. Is it bad enough that his life has been taken, but now you took his body? That I can't even prepare it and take care of it, because it was a place of honor to take care of the body. And lo and behold, she sees two angels. And then she turns and this man looks at her and he says, what are you looking for? She said, they've taken my master. Do you not know where he is? Like, show me. Just show me. I'll go get him and bring him back. And he looks at her one moment and says, it's me. And she says, Adonai. And she knew it. He said, don't touch me. Don't touch me. I haven't yet ascended. I'm here to tell you that Jesus sees your grief. He saw Mary Magdalene's grief at the tomb. And just one word, wiped her grief away and gave her peace. Be encouraged today. Grief is not meant to sit down inside of grief. It's meant to keep walking through. Amen. Your church is with you. We love you. Your family is there with you and for you. Don't be afraid to say you're struggling. Don't be afraid to tell that you've had a miscarriage. We're here. Your women, mother, friends are here. And God's willing to touch that spot today. Moms, let Jesus' living water rush over you today. Everyone stand to your feet. Let his water wash over us today and remove our heaviness. Remove the burdens that we carry from everyday life. You know, our video said it best, that one day isn't enough to celebrate moms. Of course, because it doesn't take a day to rest. It takes more than a day to rest. But when you have His living water constantly washing over you and bringing rest and restoration, forgiveness of the wrongs that maybe you slipped up this week. You slipped up and you corrected out of anger rather than just correcting and directing. Or maybe you're a mother of adult children and you don't see things going right. So rather than speaking what God sees, you just spit out what you saw. And you wished you would have kept it inside your heart. It's okay. He's here. He's here for us. He's here to refresh us. He's here to forgive us. I think of the last scripture I want to read today, and I wanted you standing because I think you listen differently when you move. Just going to be honest with you. Sometimes you get bored in the same place. It's Lamentations 3:21. It says, I recall to my mind, therefore, I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed by motherhood. Because His compassions fail not. They are new every single morning. Amen. Great is His faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I, chosen to be a mother of three children, I will say, He is my portion. He is my portion. And I will hope in Him. Can we put our hope in Jesus rather than ourselves? Can we take the pressure off as mothers and say, Lord, I'm just going to be who You've called me to be. And I'm going to do my best, and the Holy Spirit's going to pick up the rest. Is that not what He does? Maybe you're here present today in this service and you're not a mom. But you're saying, Nicole, I hear of this living water that brings joy, that brings blessing, strength, and power. I want this. I want this living water. What do I need to do? If that's you and your mother's here today, reach over your hand to your mother and say, Mom, I want that living water. Your mom knows exactly how to pray, and chances are she's already been praying that you would pray it. But if your mom's not here, I want to pray it with you today. We're all going to pray. It's Mother's Day. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before You. And I ask You, Lord, for this living water. I repent of my sins. I turn from my ways and I accept Yours. I believe that You died for me. And You rose again on the third day. And because of this, I will serve You all my days. In Jesus' name. If you said that prayer today for the first time, I want to be sure that at the end of the service, you come talk to me. And then last but not least, if there is any mother here today that you just feel overwhelmed, you say, Pastor Nicole, I hear what you're saying, but I just need someone to pray with me. We're here to pray with you today. What better than on Mother's Day to get a refuel, a restoration, and a refilling of what it is that you're called to do? Probably one of the greatest calls on this earth is to be a mother. Good job, ladies. In case nobody told you today, good job. You did it. Now, for all you fathers, I know that you're wanting something special on Father's Day. I'm sure they'll be teaching a message. I don't know if it's going to be about how special fathers are. I'm just telling you. But we might be nice to you. Thank you. Yeah, Jim. Anyways, those of you, go ahead, get your Mother's Day dinner done today. If you're going to plant flowers in raincoats like us in the garage at 20 degrees, then you can do that too. Enjoy your Mother's Day. Be blessed. Go and have a good time. I will see you on Wednesday, start of home groups, and then Sunday we'll be preaching on Holy Ghost again. And if you're a mother and you want prayer, I'll be waiting. Have a good one, guys. Happy Mother's Day.